I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, another installment in our Black History Month series. Today, we'll talk about the role of the Communist Party in Alabama in the 1930s. New scholarship describes just how many people were attracted to the party's message and why. That conversation in a few minutes. But first, we take another look at one of the top educational debates today, charter schools. Political leaders from wildly varying backgrounds are fans. President Obama to the newly sworn and highly conservative governor of Virginia, Bob McDonnell. Now, many people believe these institutions provide a much-needed alternative to under-resourced and increasingly segregated public schools. But a recent study by a civil rights group says that while charter schools may be a political success, they are a civil rights failure, that their enrollment is becoming less racially diverse than their traditional public school counterparts. The study, Choice Without Equity, Charter School Segregation and the Need for Civil Rights Standards, was conducted by the Civil Rights Project at the University of California, Los Angeles. And here to talk about the findings is the project's co-director and professor of education, Gary Orfield, who oversaw the research. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
I want to dig into that opening line of the foreword of the study that I just mentioned, that the charter school movement has been a major political success, but the study says it's been a civil rights failure. What do you mean by that?
Well, both the Clinton administration and the Bush administration pushed very hard to expand the number of charter schools. And, of course, President Obama is pushing even harder to expand the number. So that's where there's the political success. The civil rights failure has been that this system has grown in a period, particularly during the Bush administration, when civil rights enforcement was deregulated, just like the economic regulation was abandoned. And the system has grown as a highly segregated system of schools.
Just how segregated are these charter schools, for particularly for Black and Latino students, and how does that compare to traditional public schools with which you compared them?
We report every year on segregation of traditional public schools, and they've become steadily more segregated every year since the 1990s, when the Supreme Court really changed the rules and started abandoning desegregation plans. Black students are twice as likely to be in intensely segregated schools in charter schools as they are in regular public schools, and three times as likely to be in what we call apartheid schools, where there are 0 to 1% white students. So they're much more segregated than traditional public schools. For Latino students, they're highly segregated. Most Latino students in the Southwest particularly are in highly segregated schools. It's not as extreme as the Black level. But there's also segregation by social class. We also have the emergence of a group of white segregated charter schools that serve almost no minority children, and some of which don't even have free lunch. So poor children really can't go there either.
Why is this a problem? And the reason I'm asking you in this way is that I think most people would agree that segregation by law is wrong. But by definition, parents are choosing to send their children to these schools. So even if the schools are hyper-segregated, either for Blacks or for Latinos or for whites for that matter, isn't this a matter of parental choice? And the parents still have the option of sending their children to traditional public schools. So why is it, in your view, is the racial concentration of many of these schools a problem?
Well, basically, segregation is a problem because it's almost never just segregation by race or ethnicity. It's almost always double segregation by race and poverty. And for Latino students, it's often triple segregation by race, poverty, and language. Segregated schools are systematically unequal in terms of all the important outcomes, graduation rates, test scores, success in college, access to jobs as adults, and so forth. You really can't prepare to function effectively in a multiracial set of institutions like colleges and corporations without having some kind of integrated experience in a society where everybody's going to be a minority in the lives of the children that are coming along now. Black students are going to be around a sixth of the population. It's an advantage for them to learn how to interact effectively with Latinos and whites and Asians. And for all the other groups, there's also big advantages in terms of success as in living and working in a multiracial society.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Professor Gary Orfield, and we're talking about a new study. He supervised the research for it that describes the increased segregation of the nation's charter schools as opposed to traditional public schools. Professor Orfield, I wanted to press the question of parental choice.
Yeah, yes.
Many people would argue that the reason many parents of color are seeking out these charter schools, they are started by people of color, and they are specifically interested in educating specific populations. They feel that they can do a better job with more flexibility and perhaps teaching styles that are better suited to the circumstances that the kids are in. What would you say to that? The parents have a right to make that choice.
I would say we favor a much more extensive set of choices available for parents. We favor a choice not just to go to a segregated charter school, but to go to an integrated charter school or a diverse magnet school or a school in another school district, which would be a typical kind of suburban school. And we know that parents will make those choices if they're available. The only choice these parents are being offered who are in weak public segregated schools is a segregated charter school. And there really is no research evidence out there that shows that these charter schools function significantly better than similar public schools. If there isn't an educational advantage, and we know that broader, deeper forms of choice do have educational and social advantages, why shouldn't we expand the parent choice in a more broad way? And why shouldn't we build that into the way charter schools operate? Typically, they don't offer transportation. They really don't do a good job of parent information. They underserve English language minorities and special education kids. We can make them better. We really need to put some civil rights policies into the charter school process since they're a publicly funded institution.
Is it your view that these schools are, in essence, modern-day segregation academies? These are sort of dual systems set up in order to shelter certain students from the general population? Is that your sense of it?
I think their charter schools cover the absolute range of possibilities. The only thing a charter school is, it means it's got some semi-independent status. It doesn't say anything about their procedures or the rules or anything else. So there are charter schools that are perfectly wonderful. I've had a lot of students that have taught in, and one of my daughters taught in one. There are charter schools that are pretty awful, some of which are run by corporations and don't do any of these things. I'm saying we just ought to have a uniform policy that says that if you're a magnet school getting federal money, or if you're a charter school getting federal money, you should be following certain kinds of civil rights requirements. And you know, during the Bush administration, what they said is they archived the civil rights requirements. That means they put them in a closet and ignored them. We're saying the Obama administration, if it's going to expand these things, ought to connect them with the best available civil rights policies and the best experiences of magnet schools.
I want to hear more from you about what standards you think those should be, but I just want to press you one more time on this question of why, if you feel that these schools are providing a disservice to particularly to students of color, particularly to blacks and Latinos, why are there so many people of color who are advocating them and running them? I'm thinking of Ben Chavis, who ran for a time the American Indian Public Charter School in the San Francisco area. I'm thinking about in New York, Jeffrey Canada, who runs the Harlem Children's Zone. I'm thinking about how in the D.C. area, for example, a number of people, in fact, I would argue most of the people running the charter schools are people of color.
You know, I think there are some wonderful people running charter schools, including some of my former students. And I admire Jeffrey Canada very deeply. And I think what he's trying to do is an important experiment for the country. I don't object to that kind of thing, and I think good charter schools ought to be rewarded and expanded. I just think all charter schools, if they get public money, ought to follow basic civil rights law and good civil rights practice, and I think many of them would be perfectly willing to.
Give me an example of what you're talking about.
I'm talking about parent information. I'm talking about welcoming children of all groups. You know, if you look at D.C., for example, the white population of D.C. has been going up now for several decades as a percentage of the total population. There's a large Latino immigrant population there. Schools should reach out for everybody. They should serve everybody. They should not tell an English language learner that they should go back to a public school. They should provide what that student needs. Same thing for a special education student. If they're a public school, they get public money, they should be accountable, and they should have a positive attitudes towards diversity and the basic machinery to really expand the choices for all parents.
I don't know how else to ask this question except to just come out and ask it. Do you feel that this is a form of black racism, in essence, that black elites are now looking for shelter for their children and creating a certain educational environment that is not welcoming to people from other backgrounds, or Latino racism, for that matter? Do you think that that's the case?
I you know, the vast majority of middle-class blacks and Latinos in Washington, D.C. and in most of our other major cities are not in the central city. They're in suburban school systems. This is for black kids, for Latino kids, and what kinds of choices they're going to have. That's basically what the enrollment of the D.C. public schools are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not claiming that this is a plot of the black elites. I think this is an effort by some very idealistic innovators and educators to do something good, and they have not been asked to or given resources to do the other kinds of things, the diversity-oriented things. And I think that many of them would do them, and I think many of them would do them pretty happily, and I think they'd create even better schools as a result. Now, I'm not saying it's a big plot. I just do think that there's been an intentional dropping of civil rights consciousness and that we should not expand this as an extremely segregated system. I think we can do much better than that.
But is it your view that an integrated education is by definition educationally superior? I mean, there
yes.
are those – really, and why?
It's superior because it prepares kids to live and work in the society that they'll be in as adults. It's superior because, generally speaking, it has – more effective and more stable teaching force. It's superior because there's usually a higher level of competition. It's superior because the kids learn from each other about the differences that exist in our society and how to deal with them. It's superior for lots of reasons. It's not always possible. We know that it's not feasible lots of places, but where it is feasible, we should have policies that facilitate it.
Gary Orfield is a professor of education and the co-director of the Civil Rights Project at UCLA. He's also the co-author of 21st Century Color Lines, Multiracial Change in Contemporary America. He was kind enough to join us from our studios at NPR West. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's great to speak to you, Michelle.
If you want to read the study that we've been talking about in its entirety, we'll have a link on our website. Just go to npr.org, click on Programs, and then on Tell Me More.